virginity of a child will be determined in a match.
Yeah, hooray, Sentimento!
Oh, I knew he was going to do that.
Hulk Hogan is a jabroni, heart of a bride. But my boss, Mr. McMahon, is not jabroni.
Let's get a horse of time, fool.
Put that cigarette out.
Will you stop?
What's up, Drunk Marks? Welcome to this week's episode of 205 Jive. I'm your designated host, Adam. With us, as always, are the legendary drunk historians themselves.
This is Eddie, Woozle Wezzle.
And this is Scott. It's Ghetto Blaster time, fool.
And what are we putting away tonight?
I am drinking a modern time. I was going to drink this one beer I had that was like 11.5%. I forget what it was, but I was talking to Carissa between recordings and I could feel myself slurring a little bit. So I thought that was a bad idea. So I'm drinking a modern time Star Cloud Hazy IPA out of San Diego.
And I am actually out of Corona seltzers. I just ran out. So between episodes, sad. So between recordings, I ran downstairs and did a shot of Blackened again. So Alistair Blackened is back in the house.
Nice.
And I'm doing this cool drink with some frozen water clusters mixed with refrigerator dispensed water. That was a really shitty way of explaining the obvious, but you know.
It wasn't. It was actually too good of a way of explaining the obvious.
Oh, then you're welcome.
Thank you.
Is that new H2O I've been hearing so many things about?
The new H2O.
Many people were talking about it.
I've heard good things.
This week's episode is more of it's personal descriptions of what we think of these particular teams. This is going to be called the Shitty Mount Rushmore episode.
Mount so, Shitmore, if you will.
Keep it classy.
Mount Shitmore.
Tessa.
Yeah, so pretty much this is pretty
Mount
much
Menudos.
Our
Mount Menudos. Oh my god. Oh my.
Getting flashbacks of when DX dropped all of that on the Spirit Squad and Shane and Vince.
That was great.
But that's an episode for another time. It's weird. This is similar to receiving a Razzie. We are honoring shitty tag teams. And also, each of us are doing our own definitions of what constitutes as being worthy on the Mount Shitmore here. And since that's the case, I might as well jump into it. I'm going first then. All right. So my particular case, so my era of watching wrestling is 2000s and onward. I do.
So you miss a lot of bad ones.
You miss some doozies. Yeah.
Yes, I very much did. So.
Or some duties, if you will.
Heyo. So unlike the last time we did a Mount Rushmore episode, the statistics of some crossovers goes, or the chances of that goes down a little bit. Way I'm going to define it is they're not two wrestlers that just happen to team up for an episode of a Raw or SmackDown or two. Like they're a clearly defined and established tag team.
And I think that should have been the criteria for the whole, and we should have discussed this beforehand.
Or that's at least one detail that's consistent among all of us.
You're right. Yes. You rate it that way, and we should have actually set that up as a ground rule maybe for all of us. But I'll just assume all of mine are that way. I would assume all of Scott's are too.
Same, yeah.
But if we had planning skills, we would have made that a rule.
Yeah, but I mean, luckily, we are classy and professional enough to abide by that without it being mentioned. All right, I am going to go with... first one is going to be X-Factor. With
who was that?
X-Pac, Justin Credible, and Albert.
Oh
dear.
I had forgotten all about them.
Okay.
So therefore memorable. or therefore worthy.
Yeah,
and
would classify for sure.
Yeah. I don't think they got any. I'm very sure that they didn't win any tag team titles, but yeah, they were established as a heel faction or a tag team. All of their run-ins were predictable, so there wasn't even that bit of entertainment or tension when they were present. I think there was even one episode of SmackDown where I want to say it was Kurt Angle said, "Hey, will you back me up on this one match I'm doing during his heel or yeah, during his run as a heel."
That's some sorry shit by Kurt
yeah,
Angle.
Yeah, and then Michael Cole just kept pointing it out like every 90 seconds. Kurt Angle has called X Factor. They're going to be here, and by the end of the match, X Factor does show up, and it's like, wow, way to spoil any surprise factor with them being present. And Justin Credible was so bad on the microphone.
Justin Credible was so bad in every way, to be honest
yeah.
with you.
Yeah, as big and macho as Albert was, God, he was so much better.
Actually, to be fair, I shouldn't say that. He works at Panera now, and I'm sure he makes a fine sandwich.
You think he can get Joey Ryan a job?
Yeah, I heard he's looking.
I also remember, I don't know if X Factor disbanded by then, but it was a lead-in to the Invasion. At some point, X-Pac won the light heavyweight title, and then when they were going into Invasion, I think whether it was at that pay-per-view or leading up to it, he was taking on Billy Kidman. Everyone was like very pro WWF and very anti-alliance. X-Pac got zero response when he came out to represent WWF. So I think, yeah, just all those elements together, X-Factor is part of my shitty Mount Rushmore.
And, you know, I wouldn't have thought of that one, but just by virtue of his gimmick being pierced, Albert's got to be on any shitty Mount Rushmore. Right? I mean, that was his entire gimmick. His name was a dick piercing.
Yeah. Hell of a trainer, though. Hell of a trainer.
Well, yeah. I mean, he does a great job with those NXT kids, but I mean, when your gimmick is you're named after a dick with a piece of metal through it. Yeah.
It just took him a while to find his calling, that's all.
That had to be Russo. Russo had to have heard of that.
How many callings and gimmicks did he have, though? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The pierced dick is called a Prince Albert. We got to get a guy in here named Albert.
Okay. Let's see. Next one would be the Dicks.
Ugh. They almost made my list.
Yeah. They were that present to be that least memorable. I think the majority of their matches were on... I think they were on the extra shows of Metal
or Velocity.
Were
they the guys with the bow ties? They were bow ties?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Idiots.
Yeah. The Dicks.
Like Vito and whoever else with the FBI, they were more realistic or realistically macho compared to the Dicks.
Was their finishing move called Total Penetration? If not, it should have been.
It should have been.
Should have been, yeah.
Because the money shot was taken.
Exactly. Well, and Big Dick Dudley wasn't around very long in ECW, and that was his finishing move. So it would have made sense if the Dicks also picked that up, but...
Yeah.
Right. I don't even remember if they had a finishing move.
Awful.
So the Dicks didn't really finish. Okay.
I think that's Lars' favorite tag team.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh!
Scotty is en fuego. Next one that I have is Deuce and Domino.
Oh, but they held gold, man.
Okay. They did hold gold, but I want to say it was like more of the same thing like X-Pac having the light heavyweight title during the Invasion angle. Yeah, they were heel, but they weren't really pissing anybody off. They were just clearly there for a story, just to break up the year-long plus run of London and Kendrick.
I agree. They were pretty
bad. To hold that title.
I agree with
you. I mean, that was like the most heelish thing that they did, but otherwise, I didn't feel like they were a threatening factor to any other teams.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, dude. Good call on that one.
Yeah. But they did bring Cherry, and
yeah, okay.
And then she stuck around for a bit.
And she's coincidentally on the Mount Shitmore of valets.
Ooh, that's a good episode.
Yep. That's a spoiler. That's going to be one of my names.
And then, when you start thinking about it, she might not make it when you really start.
Yeah, she might just be an honorable mention when we start deep diving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll think. I mean, there's plenty of time to think about that one.
All right, who do you have next?
Last one that I have on there. Yes, same thing. They also held gold, but I'm putting Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch.
Oh, good one, dude. I forgot about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sucked.
Cowboy gimmick, or cowboy southern gimmick, but despite those thick mutton chops and their trucker hats, they wore like bedazzled, what was it? Came out wearing a bedazzled fire jacket or whatever. So it's like you couldn't even decide on a gimmick or a concept. It was just so weird.
So worse than the Highlanders, you think?
Yeah, Highlanders had kind of a cool
gimmick,
actually.
They were entertaining. I like the Highlanders.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, despite being TNA fans, they were okay.
That's great you remember that.
Oh, do you remember anything else about him?
No. I remember him for getting fired for going to TNA.
Yeah.
When he was a WWE employee.
Yeah, right. Shitty.
They were entertaining, and their weight was announced in stone.
Yes, that's but right.
Yeah.
Which they ripped off from the Leprechaun Aaron O'Grady, by the way.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah. I hated Trevor and Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch. It was bad. And they just kind of disappeared, too.
Suddenly, yeah.
Yeah, Lance Cade, the last time he was on TV, remember, he was literally super kicked to death.
I don't remember that.
Was this WWE elsewhere?
Never mind.
Wait, were you making a death joke? I thought you were being serious. I thought maybe Shawn Michaels like removed him from television, but were you really making a death joke?
I do that sometimes.
Oh my gosh, dude.
No, the last time we saw him, Shawn Michaels super kicked the fuck out of him, and then like he was dead like 2 weeks later.
Ugh, I'm going to have you thrown out of here.
Which is unfortunate, but yeah.
I know. Hey, every show's got to have a heel. You know. Every show's got to have a heel.
You're hey, a certain, brother. You're a heat magnet for sure.
All right, that was your list.
That's my list.
Pretty right, Scott, shitty, man. Well done.
You want to go next, Scott, or you want me to go next?
Yeah, I'll go next. And you know what? Mine's actually going to be pretty quick. And I think, Adam, these are going to all be before your time.
All good. Go for it.
But I think Ed's going to be like, yep, 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 and yep. I'm going to start off with the Ding Dongs.
Awful.
Horrible. This is about 1989 WCW, and Jim Herd's the booker, or the head of creative, whatever you want to call him. These guys were dressed in neon outfits, matching, hoods, and spandex. Think the Conquistadors, but in like late 80s, early 90s neon colors. The worst part, they came to the ring ringing a ring bell, or like a cowbell. They hung it on the ring post throughout the entire match. They're ringing the bell. Creative thought these guys were going to get over as faces. Guess what happened? Predictably, the crowd shit all over them, and they were gone within like 3 months. Gone.
That was such a stupid-ass one for WCW especially, too, because WWE had the cartoony shit. WCW is a much more serious wrestling show.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yes, and I think from what I read, these guys were inspired by the Bushwhackers. That's where WCW got the idea to put these guys out there.
Had they ever seen the Bushwhackers?
I don't think that they did. They were like guessing. These guys were awful. Absolutely horrible. Easily made my Mount Shitmore. Next
were they
up,
supposed to be like cavemen or something?
No, they just rang bells.
Okay.
And had the name the Ding Dongs. There was the Hunchbacks also. And the idea was you couldn't pin them because they had hunchbacks.
Right.
Awful, but they didn't make my list. Maybe they should have. Next on my list, Dynamic Dudes.
Oh.
Also from 1989, you can tell
WCW
was
dudes.
They were clearly they were clearly on a roll. This team consisted of Johnny Ace and Shane Douglas, which is funny because when Shane Douglas landed on WWE's roster in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, he had a similar gimmick. Neon trunks, kind of a young look, like a surfer dude, had the same thing in the Dynamic Dudes. The coolest thing they ever did was get managed by Jim Cornette and then turned on by Jim Cornette. Awful team, never really got over with the fans, even though they thought that they could throw these young kids out there with skateboards and they look cool.
Were they even young? Or was Laurinaitis young? I don't think Laurinaitis was that young.
No, I don't think Laurinaitis was young. Douglas certainly was young. You can tell by looking at him. But I think Laurinaitis was already about 48 when he went into his gimmick.
Yeah, almost really, as old as you.
Almost. Not quite. Thank you for that, by the way.
My name is John Laurinaitis, and I am a dynamic dude.
Yeah, he sounded like that in 89.
Best thing he ever did was married the Bella's mom.
Pretty smart, huh?
Yeah, she used to be pretty hot, like when Total Bellas first started. She had that. She does have that lazy eye, though.
Well, he's also Animal's brother, so that give him.
He didn't do that.
Well, fortunate in life, I guess. Next up on my horrible tag team list, the New Midnight Express.
Uh huh. Good
also
one.
Managed by Jim Cornette, unfortunately. This was Bart Gunn, who we discussed in our King of the Ring 93 episode very briefly, and Bob Holly. So if you watched the NWA or WCW and you were a Midnight Express fan, I think you can agree with me that this was the shitty version of the Midnight. This wasn't even the original Midnight Express that Paulie dangerously managed that came back to fight with the existing Midnight Express. That Midnight Express was way better than this one. This was a horrible iteration of the Midnight Express. They had none of the charisma of the original, none of the moves. The only thing they had was Jim Cornette, and that wasn't even a saving grace. These guys were awful.
I gotta agree with that. And you know what's too bad is because both of those guys were actually talented, right?
They were. They did have talent on their own, but together?
Year was that? That was 98?
It was the, it was the later 90s. So yeah, like 97, 98.
Bob Holly was there. Fuck.
Dude. Gosh, like 94, 95.
No, I was going to say after that, at least 10 to 12 years.
He went into I want to say like 2009, 2010. Correct. Yeah,
Bob Holly ended up having a really good career. I mean, that guy's a Hall of Famer, no doubt.
Agree. 100% agree. But this was easily his worst.
Shit gimmick. For both of them, Bart Gunn got fucked over. And that would have been after... That was before 15, huh? That was before Brawl for All.
Correct. Yeah, that was going to pull him out of this horrible gimmick.
Yeah, and then that backfired when he got smoked by fucking Butterbean.
Dude, but, you're putting it kindly.
Yeah,
Butterbean almost fucking killed that guy.
I thought Butterbean was going to eat him after that one, too.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
Oh yeah, dude. It was like Apollo Creed and Ivan Drago in that match.
Yeah, and that seemed to be Butterbean's MO in that match. If he dies, he dies. I'm just gonna punch the fuck out of him until he falls.
I will kill this man.
Yeah, he was dead.
Yeah.
So New Midnight Express.
Shit ass tag team.
Horrible. Awful.
That's a good one. That's a good
one. I'm gonna round it out with the New Rockers.
Okay.
How dare you, WWF, insult the name of the original Rockers?
Trash.
By putting this shitty tandem together, which was Leaf Cassidy, a.k.a. Al Snow, and Marty Jannetty.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. I don't know. Horrible. Look, this had to be a payday for Marty. He had to know. I mean, nothing against Al Snow, right? He's fine. But to call him Leaf Cassidy and put him with Marty Jannetty and then call them the New Rockers?
Right.
Horrible. Horrible decision to put those two guys together and try to invoke the Rockers' name into it. All bad. And I'm going to officially name my shittiest tag team, the four of them. I'm going to call it Mount Mulkey.
Excellent name, and I will get to that when we get to my list.
Okay.
All right. So I want to start off with, I don't know if you want to call them honorable mentions because there's nothing honorable about being on this list. But I had a handful that so what I did is I went on Twitter and I just put out there, what do you guys think is the worst tag team ever? Okay, I said something, show research, whatever. I got hella responses. So I started writing down, a lot of them of course were repeats, but I started writing a lot of them down, okay? So I'll start from the beginning. First of all, a couple people said PG-13, which I actually thought PG-13 were pretty cool.
I did, good call.
They kind of sucked in the ring, but I was entertained by them.
okay.
Okay, but moving on from there, we got Men on a Mission.
Oh, I disagree. I loved Men on a Mission.
Ew.
I loved them, dude. They were so entertaining.
They were fucking terrible.
No, they were not terrible. No, okay. They were not. I disagree with that.
Okay. Next one on the list, Gemini.
Okay, 100% agree with that shit.
Right? They were the, you know what they were? They were the shitty Basham brothers who were shitty.
Yeah, it was like if Ryback had a twin. God forbid, but then there's right. Gemini walking to the ring.
Right, it was like if you recreated Ryback.
Yeah, yeah. Like Hulk Hogan had a clone at ringside in King of the Ring 93.
Right,
fucking
right,
Ryback
yeah.
had a clone walking to the ring with him.
Yeah, right. If they were like, hey, Lars is gone, let's get someone to replace him. Okay.
I took it like a man, didn't I?
Okay. Heidenreich and Animal.
I'm going to agree with that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to agree with that.
Awful. Fucking awful. Yeah. I liked Heidenreich on his own because he was fucking bizarre and twisted. But when they put him with Animal, they both should have been on their own, even though Hawk was... I don't know if that was when Hawk was dead.
Oh, yeah. Hawk was dead. Okay. Hawk was dead.
Keep Animal around, man. Keep Heidenreich around. I thought both of them could have... were okay on their own, but together they sucked.
Yeah, WWE had a bad habit of throwing guys in Legion of Doom makeup, i.e. Draws and Heidenreich, and it did not work out well.
Yeah, but at least Draws could throw up.
Oh, that's true, yeah. He's
they
gonna
also,
puke.
They also did that with Sonny, which was cool.
Yes, okay.
Chronic.
Mm.
Right? How bad were they? You know what? Just those fucking shirts alone. Like, Chronic came to the ring like they were going to the club.
So they were a big deal in WCW. Now, I assume you're talking about WWE.
WWE Chronic, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So they were a big deal in WCW.
They were both good wrestlers.
Yes, they were, on their own, individually, yes.
But what a shit-ass tag team, dude, with the fucking zipper-up shirts.
Yeah.
And the straightened hair.
They didn't have the best look.
No.
And what they did in WCW didn't cross over well to what happened in WWE. So,
right.
Yeah, to an extent, yeah. I'll agree with that.
Okay. Body Donis.
Okay, 100% sucked. Agree with that. Yeah, agree.
They were like, talk about being like the manager is the star.
Well, the tag team division at the time was awful. So they were like the nicest piece of shit in the closet that you could pull out to be your tag team champions.
Right, they were like the they were like the driest turd.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Heavenly Bodies were probably the two ugliest people I've ever seen in my life, with the worst hair.
Okay.
Both those motherfuckers had bangs.
So we're getting into more appearance, okay. I think, here, and less to do with maybe in ring or cohesiveness. I think the Heavenly Bodies were okay. But if you're going on a look scale, certainly they deserve to be honorable mention on this.
Oh, they would be at the top of the list if it was just based on looks. Okay. I just added this one today. I thought about I spent like the last week coming up with brainstorming on this. I just came up with this today. Lucha House Party, I'm going to say, is one of the worst tag teams ever. And solely for that stupid-ass Lucha House Party rules matches they were doing for like 6 months.
Okay.
That was fucking ridiculous. They weren't even champions. It wasn't like they were doing the New Day with the Freebird rules. It was
the Freebird
like,
rule.
It was just like, oh, there are three of them. You got to wrestle all three of them. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with that.
Okay. Another one. I've got a few more, and then we'll get to my actual Mount Rushmore. But I just wanted to, you know, the people on Twitter put a lot of thought into these. Los Matadors sucked.
Oh, pretty bad. Yeah.
They had a little tiny bull.
Pretty bad.
Right. Okay, then I have the Mulkeys, which I'd never seen Mulkeys until last week when several people tweeted me with Mulkeys.
Okay, so I named my Mount Mulkey for a reason, right? Because they were the epitome of your 80s jobber team.
Yes.
But you have to think, okay, yes, they were jobbers. Yes, their look was horrible. Two pasty blonde dudes that just were bad in the ring. They made so many tag teams on the 80s NWA scene look like $1 million. Teams that really had no business even being on the roster, and I'll throw out New Breed as one of those names. The Mulkeys jobbed to every single up-and-comer that went through that territory and collected their checks and went home. So I'll agree they were bad, But they made guys look like $1 million, dude. Like, they were the epitome of an 80s jobber that did their job and did it well.
And that's why they didn't actually make my Mount Rushmore, because exactly, excellent, they did. They were there for a purpose. They served that purpose very well.
Agree. Yeah.
They were very ascension-like.
They weren't ascension-like.
The ascension was pretty bad, dude.
To me, that they would be on my honorable list, because I don't think they were bad because they were bad. They were, I think, they have been perceived as bad because they weren't booked correctly.
They didn't know what to do with them.
God damn it, yeah. Adam, you're right, and I'm so mad about that, because Ascension were so good when they were in NXT.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, and Vince didn't know what to, Vince was like, oh, they look like fucking cartoons. Let's paint their faces, and oh, God.
Yeah, they really fucked up with Ascension, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one, New Foundation.
Okay.
Trash. Pants alone. Suspenders. Bad. Okay? Moving on. Next one.
Thank you.
New Midnight Express. You're right. As a general rule, if you're a new tag team,
right,
other than the New
you're
Day,
you're gonna suck. Yeah.
You're gonna suck. Yeah. Okay, next one is Beverly Brothers.
Ooh.
The Beverly Brothers.
Their finisher was fucking
badass,
though, dude.
The finisher ruled, and they didn't make my Mount Rushmore just because of their finisher. If they had, like...
They also had two managers.
Who'd they have? Did they have, like, Frenchie with them or something?
No, they had Coach, and they had the Genius.
Coach is Frenchie. But, you know what I mean? Like, I think of those two guys as the same thing. They didn't talk. They just, like, fucking pranced about.
Yeah, they didn't do much.
Yeah, but they were, like...
Good finisher, though.
Exactly. That's the only reason I didn't put them on my Mount Rushmore, is because of that badass finisher. Other than that, they completely fucking sucked.
Gotcha.
Last one on my honorable mentions, Techno Team 2000.
They almost made my list, dude. They'd be an honorable mention
for
me.
They're, like, dressed up in silver, and they're like, shiny. Do you remember a match of theirs, or just pictures of them? I'm kind of like...
No, I remember pictures. Maybe I remember them being showcased on a Raw, but I don't remember any matches.
Right, me either. Like, to me, they're kind of like... You know, like, Padme remembers Leia. She's like, I just remember images of her. That's how I remember Techno Team 2000. Like, I just remember what they look like. I don't remember a feud they had. I don't remember what match they had. They might have never wrestled, as far as I know. They just...
Do you remember in Mean Girls when they really wanted the word fetch to catch on, and it never did?
Yeah, it was a cool movie.
To me, Eric Watts is the equivalent of that. They tried to make him happen in WCW just because he's a Watt. He didn't work out in WCW. Came over to WWF. They tried so hard to really push that Techno Team 2000. He didn't work out there either. Gone. Like, they really tried so hard with him in both territories. He didn't work out in either one. So 100% agree that that's a great honorable mention.
For the record, to make it clear, you're saying that Techno Team 2000 is fetch.
They are fetch.
All right. I never thought there'd be a Mean Girls reference in this podcast, but salute.
Look, I aim to please.
Okay.
We work to reach to all demographics.
Okay, getting on to my actual Mount Rushmore, because Adam has trivia that he has to get to, so we got to start wrapping this up.
You got time.
Number starting, I'm going to go from the bottom up, okay? Public Enemy. Shit-ass.
Agree.
Shit tag team. I don't think those guys could do a wrestling move. They couldn't talk. They looked terrible. They look like Paul dangerously just, like, found some guys in, like, the Bronx wandering around. And was like, hey.
I think he did.
Yeah, he was like, hey, you guys are, like, kind of fat and big. Like, would you like to wrestle? They sucked. And I'll tell you what, the only reason they were not at the top of my Mount Rushmore is because they had that match with the APA, which we're going to do a watch-along about.
Oh, God, when I was introduced to that, I was amazed.
It was fucking incredible. We're going to get back to watch. You guys, we're going to get back to watch-alongs. We did the one with Awesome and Tanaka, and we got some pretty good feedback. Once we can get back together in the same at the Drunk Wrestling History Performance Center all together, we're going to start doing more watch-alongs. And, man, that
match. You can't even really call that a match.
No, it wasn't a match. It was a fucking beating.
It was a fight.
And we'll
yeah.
Go,
or it was an ass
actually,
beating.
No, not even a fight, because a fight wasn't even... brought back to them, but yeah,
and when we do the episode on that, we'll get into the whole backstory of it. That was fucking incredible. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And if that had never happened, they would be at the top of my Mount Rushmore. because they did one of the... This team is so bad that they did the coolest thing I've ever seen, and they made number 4 my Mount Rushmore of shitty tag teams. So
they were able to work themselves off the top 3 podium, at least.
Yeah. So number 3, I'm going with you, Scott, with the New Rockers. Adam, if you were... if you'd been around for the New Rockers, you probably would have them on your list, too. They sucked.
Yeah, it would have been a clean sweep.
It was... You know what? It was like Leaf Cassidy, which, first of all, who the fuck's name is Leaf? Second of all...
Well, Leaf Garrett, right?
Yeah. Okay.
It was a combination of Sean Cassidy, I think, and Leaf Garrett, which were like 2 60s or 70s heartthrobs.
Who's Sean Cassidy?
So it was a combination of those two names.
Okay. I mean, look, that was lost on anyone my age who they were aiming the show at.
No, dude, 100%. Yeah, they completely dated themselves with that one.
Good,
it was horrible.
Yeah, good move, Vince. Like, they might as well name someone after, like, fucking, I don't know.
Yeah, like Vince Stanley.
Who?
Vince Stanley. A combination of Vince Neil and Paul Stanley.
Okay, yeah.
That's the same thing.
Yeah, I guess. They sucked. Their gear sucked. It was just, you're watching and you're like, Leaf is... Sean, and Sean is the greatest at this point. It almost was like a couple years too late. Like if Sean hadn't gotten to be as good as he was, and clearly eclipsed Marty by like 50, maybe it would have made sense. But it was too.
I'm definitely getting the sense of like when we back when we did the Vince Failures episode, the concept of just trying to reheat something, like put new NWO back in WWE, or the new rebranding of ECW after the One Night Stand. It's just not going to work. You're trying to find lightning that'll strike twice. And I mean, the sense I get is that they were, Marty Jannetty is just trying to look for a paycheck on this. And this is not only is he able to wrestle under this gimmick, this is only the only gimmick that he can do, which is unfortunate.
And you know what, Adam, by the way, thank you for using the term reheat this, because this was like reheating like a 4-day-old chicken breast or like reheating in the microwave some fries from this morning. You know what I mean? It was like,
or making your pizza rolls in the microwave.
Yeah, it was a big fuck up. Never should have happened. Total disaster. It was almost like they were like someone liked Marty and was trying to give him a job, you know?
Didn't the crowd shit on this too? Like, weren't they faces when they first came in, and then they got turned heel because the crowd was like, fuck these
guys.
They
did. Yeah. Yeah, and Al Snow was good, you know?
Yeah, Al Snow's fine. Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah. That was my number two, or my number three. My number two is, and this is nothing to do with anything, but the Hype Bros. Those two clowns, they just didn't make sense at the time, especially back then. Like three, 4 years ago, Mojo Rawley was just like, he acted like he was like, I don't know, mentally ill or something. Like, so he was like, I'm hype, and pumping his fist, and then Ryder's pumping his fist, and they're just acting like lunatics. And they didn't even beat anybody, you know what I mean? They just like show up on NXT and beat jobbers, but it was like, they brought Ryder down to... That was kind of... Ryder was the first guy they brought down from the main roster to NXT, I think, if I remember right. And it was like, go down there and help Mojo Rawley, of all people, get over. Mojo Rawley, meanwhile, has been employed for 7 years and has done nothing. But I think he actually has potential, and I probably would have put them at the top of my list, but I actually think Mojo Rawley's like a pretty nice guy, watching that old...
Yeah.
Remember that documentary they did about... I forget what it was called. Breaking Ground. And Mojo was like that kid. He was like, oh, did you get your grades up this week? And the kid's like, yeah. Mojo gave him his t-shirt or whatever the fuck. So Mojo actually, I was never a Mojo fan. And then I saw that. I was like, what a cool dude. Like, that's really cool of him.
Yeah.
But what a shit team.
Yeah, did Mojo seem like before he came out, he just like did a line of coke?
Yeah.
And that made him hype?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And Ryder acted like he just was like, I don't know, dude. He, like, half-assed, seemed like he was phoning it in.
It seemed like he was trying to keep up, and so it wasn't really entertaining to watch them wrestle. It was more of, like, exhausting of, are they on the same page while trying to keep up with this gimmick?
In a stupid-ass name. And with that, I'm going to move on to the top of my Mount Rushmore, because my Mount Rushmore is built like a totem pole. And I'm going back to Adam's list, because there's overlap between both of our lists.
Oh.
I have at the top of my list Deuce and Domino. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, shoot.
And I'll tell you why, wow. Scott. You earlier mentioned, but they were tag team champions. And on my list, they're at number one because they were fucking tag team champions. Right? Like, for me, I'm like, not only did they suck, but the company got behind them and pushed them. You know what I mean? Like, they never should have been tag team champions. They never should have been the big deal they were. First of all, they dress like it's 1958 or I don't know, 1960, whatever the fuck.
It was like Greece.
There's no reason for anyone to dress like that. Right?
Right. That's 100%
fucking ridiculous. Cherry's on roller skates. Nobody should be on roller skates. The entire concept of the... who the fuck came up with that? Like, that was the dumbest ass gimmick I've ever seen in my life. Like, why would I care because these people look like Biff from fucking Back to the Future? Like, it was stupid. And then, but the company was like, oh yeah, they're a good team and we're going to put the tag team titles on them. We're going to have them beat this person and that person and Cherry and this, that. They sucked. And the one dude almost killed The Undertaker at WrestleMania 25.
Exactly.
Right?
That should put him at number one right off
exactly.
the bat.
Exactly. That was, and you know what? I started putting my list together about a week and a half ago. This was the first team I thought of. And I put him at the top of my list immediately. And I was like, kind of like, well, someone's going to be worse. Up to, and I did that Twitter thread. And probably about noon today, I went through that and looked at everyone's responses. I did not come up with anyone worse than Deuce and Domino.
There you go.
Yeah.
I want to say the one highlight of just Domino is that he was one of the security guards that brought out Simon Dean for the Boogeyman's inaugural match.
The one do you remember thing, that?
Because it's the Boogeyman, I would remember that.
God damn, dude. I mean, like, Scott said this last year, your Boogeyman knowledge is second to none, but this is other level shit. The Boogeyman doesn't know that. Nor does Simon Dean, nor Domino. Good Lord.
Impressive.
But that was, but that's just as an individual, as a team. Pretty much.
Trash. Stupid ass gimmick, dumb hair, dumb clothes, dumb manager.
I think they were just utilizing the car or driving the car because Eddie Guerrero was still driving out in the car. And then in the time that lasts, we still have this set piece. Maybe let's utilize it. And,
yeah, but the Honky Tonk Man had done it way before even Eddie Guerrero did with DDP driving him to the ring at 6.
That's right.
It was trash. Complete fucking trash. Also, by the way, the whole music from that era sucks too.
Ooh.
Yeah, I said it. There was not a good...
Shots fired.
Yeah. Okay. You know, well, I don't know, dude. If someone who's 90 years old listens to this podcast, sorry. You know, Vince McMahon listens, sorry I upset you, but like, I don't think there was a good record until the first Led Zeppelin album.
Like, God damn these drunks.
You know? Yeah.
I would just say that their entrance theme didn't fit the gimmick that they were trying to do as heels.
The only early 60s music that was good is the Misfits, and that was from the late 70s.
On that note.
Shots fired and accepted and acknowledged.
There you go. All right, I think we can wrap this one up.
All right, so make sure everybody to visit these Mount Shitmores, or even better, not to. Yeah.
I think Tessa sells videos or audio.
But yeah, I mean, hopefully these all receive the rightful bashing that they deserve, whether their fault or not. This is our individual definitions of of shitty Mount Rushmores. And you're probably going to at us anyway, so whatever. It's just our opinion. We're not attacking them further, but that's just what it is. But please continue to let us know any other episode ideas that you may have. Definitely want to have some content to keep all of you entertained. And I guess on that note, just want to remind you to...
Let me butt in, Adam, really quick before you take it home. Buy the fucking t-shirt, whatamaneuver.net, drunk wrestling history t-shirt.
We need beer money. Soft, yes, exactly.
Okay, as you were.
What are our the closing phrases? Oh, yes.
Enjoy drink like buzz. No one's watching.
Enjoy buzz, drink like no one's watching. Watch wrestling responsibly with the legendary historians themselves, Scott and Eddie. My name is Adam. Mount! Shitmore, everyone!
Tessa.